morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Take it, Marvin. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Laura.
Hi.
Laura's here.
I am, and I am not Melissa.
We appreciate you hanging out with us, Laura. We're going to have some fun over the next hour. We'll get into some entertainment news to kick things off, talk about some local theater, talk about our newsletter. We're also going to get into boomers are shocked that Gen Zers don't have these common skills. And then we're also going to talk about a job that Gen Zers are bringing back. All that covered. Those things going on. Quick programming note to everybody out there. It's a Wednesday. I think a lot of our audience is used to Phil Hartley and Quality Plus Printing joining us during the show here. We have changed that up a little bit. If you've been listening to our morning show on WIRI, our Sunrise show, you heard Phil over there today.
It's true.
We have moved that show over there. We worked it out with Phil and the gang. You know, they're very, very hard negotiations. It took years, really, but we got it worked out.
Or it was just more convenient for him to call in on the IRI hours, which is great.
Seems more likely.
We're happy to work with him and his schedule because that's what matters.
Join our friends over at Quality Plus, 3515 East Street South in Wisconsin Rapids, and be listening every Wednesday over on WIRI 105.5 Sunrise Show. Phil will be joining us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
And it's still going to be just as wicked awesome as ever.
Oh, yeah, he proved that today. Yeah, he had a good one today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's dive into some entertainment news, Melissa. And there is a certain song Kevin Bacon never wants to hear at weddings. And I'm pretty
Is it Footloose?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Yeah, nailed it. Let me get this right here. Make sure they get... There we go.
You know...
Nicely done.
This is 0 degrees of separation then, because I, too, don't want to hear Footloose at a wedding.
I don't know if it's just Footloose I don't know if it's just Kenny Loggins or if it's Footloose, but I'm a little, as an 80s kid, a little burnt out of a lot of that. But I haven't heard any of those songs, like any Kenny Loggins songs, in a long time.
Oh, I hear it all the time.
So he says, quote, "My worst nightmare is to be at a wedding and the DJ puts on Footloose and suddenly the wedding becomes about me and people form a circle around me and I become a trained monkey."
You know, that's a really thoughtful way to think of it, though.
Quote, "So I've gone to the DJs and said, please don't play that song. It's not that I don't like the song. It's that I don't like the, he doesn't want the, if he's at a wedding, it's about the other people."
Exactly. It's about the bride and groom. Don't play my song because that makes it about me.
So I have for years loved Bill Murray and Steve Martin and some of these guys who just like crash weddings.
Sure.
You know, Tom Hanks has done this, where they just show up. They're filming a movie nearby. They see that there's a wedding going on and they just show up because they can. I love this, but I also don't.
There's an element of it that makes it more about the celebrity than about the bride and groom now. And is that what the bride and groom want? However, I will say, the brides and grooms in those situations, more often than not, they were down and it was fine.
And I think it's okay because of the people we're talking about.
Exactly.
And they do such a good job of, I wanted to make this day extra special for them, but it's not about me.
Right.
And you know, they're still the stars. I may be Tom Hanks, but the bride is the star.
And I feel like Kenny Loggins is echoing that same sentiment.
Kevin Bacon.
Sorry.
But no. I'm sure Kenny Loggins would agree, too.
You said both names. I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. I actually like that Kevin Bacon came out and talked about this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of... He also is very tongue-in-cheek about it, too. It's not... When he says, my worst nightmare, it's obviously not his worst nightmare. So, you know, he's... You think of people who have handled celebrityism well. It feels like at least Kevin Bacon has throughout his career.
Oh, I agree.
One of those ones that has, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that you can make an argument has and hasn't is Ben Affleck. I think that there's plenty of angles that you could look at and say, oh, Ben has done a good job with this. And then some other ones where I don't know what's going on with Ben Affleck.
We'll just go with, in his romantic life, he's maybe made more misses than long-term hits.
Yeah. And there are interesting guy too, because there are, especially with his career, where there are things and I'm like, oh, that's just a bad movie. Gigi is just a bad movie.
And
he can do some things acting wise where I'm like, I don't know his choices there. And then I see him do stuff and he blows me away.
Right.
Or he does something socially conscious or something like that. That I'm like, oh, that was really thoughtful and that was really impressive. Just an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of focus throughout his career career has been put on his dating life.
Yep.
And how he feels about that. But this kind of leads into that a little bit because sure. Ben Affleck says it's important for his kids to have minimum wage jobs to learn the value of hard work and money. He shares three children with Jennifer Garner. They are 19, 16, and 13. Mm-hmm. Violet, Finn, and Samuel. Great names.
Those are good names. I've always liked the name Violet ever since they chose it. That actually is nice because it will allow those kids to kind of have a touch of reality as they are brought up in a very wealthy family that would otherwise lead them to being completely out of touch with the rest of the country.
In a video that went viral, Ben told Samuel no to a pair of really expensive sneakers. And in an interview yesterday, he said he was like, "We have the money." I was like, "I have the money. You're broke."
Yeah. That is a fair parenting point.
Such a good line. That's good, man. That's good.
Something
my father would have said to me or did say to me.
Right. Because as much as parents, especially parents in affluent situations like that, right, they want to give their kids the best. But at the same time, you want your kid to be the best. And if you just give them everything they want, then they're not going to be the best. They're not going to be able to relate.
One of the fortunate things a parent can do is spoil their kid to be in a place in life where you can actually do something like that. And it's almost instinctual, almost human nature to want to do that for your kids. And it's certainly human nature, I would think, as a parent, and I'm certainly not going to get any Parent of the Year awards, but I would think it's human nature to want your kids to have a better life than you did.
Yes.
And to be better than you are. Mm-hmm. And it's a mixed bag if you have money, I would imagine. I have no idea what that world is like.
I cannot relate in any way whatsoever.
But I admire when we hear celebrities saying these things and doing these things. For one, I think is a big part of this is something you brought up that I don't think of all the time, and relatability. That's a big part of life, I think, in this day and age.
If they don't know what it's like to have to buy eggs, like if they don't know what it's like to have to actually look at your budget and be like, can I afford a full dozen of eggs, or should I just buy this six pack?
I have never felt comfortable voting for somebody that I don't feel like can walk a day in my life.
Exactly.
And I'm getting more and more as I get older, and more in the climate we're in, to feel that way. Mm-hmm. And it's expanded to a lot of the music I listen to and a lot of the entertainment I take in. Mm-hmm. Where if I'm watching something or listening to something that I don't feel like they get me or they can relate to a day in the life of an average person or something like that, it's
off-putting.
It pulls me away from it. I feel more and more detached, and I don't feel a closeness to it. Mm-hmm. What he's talking about here is I think a very relatable feeling. Regardless if you're a millionaire or not, the idea of wanting to spoil your kid, but also walking that line of, God, I want to get them that toy they want, but I also don't want to give them every single thing they want. Mm-hmm. They got to learn these things. We need to acknowledge this more in life. I understand that there are a billion self-help books out there. Sure. I also understand there is no blueprint for this thing we call life.
Yeah.
There is no set playbook or set parenting rules or life rules or anything. And the more grace we give each other with that, I think the more that we can figure this out on an individual case. Mm-hmm. Every family is going to be different. I don't know if any family is different than this in this regard of, I want my kids to have a good life. Hey, you got all the food you can need. You got a roof over your head. You got some clothes, you're good. I don't got to buy the $5,000 pair of sneakers for you. You really want them. And here's the thing, too, and you know this better than I do, Laura, when it comes to teaching your kids things, the look on their face and the reward that they feel when they have worked for something as opposed to being handed something.
Yeah, there is a level of accomplishment felt in a kid when they've done the thing, right? When they earned the thing that they really wanted. That's something that you really can't replicate in any other way. Let your kids earn things.
We had a little bit of a curveball this morning, the three of us, you, I, and Melissa. Melissa had to go, so we didn't have a co-host for this hour. So Laura just jumped right in, and we really appreciate that. I know you got other things you got to be doing around here, so I appreciate you being able to hang out with us.
But I'll just stay late, sign that paycheck anyway, big boy.
There you go. Yep, you got it. With that being said, it actually worked out a little bit because two of the entertainment segments I had were to talk about our local theater and the Noises Off play that is going to be coming up.
Oh, yeah, I might know a thing or two.
And our newsletter. Yes, so this worked out fine, just as we planned it.
Sure.
So as Laura's kind of teasing a little bit there, she is one of the cast members of the newest play coming up at WRCT, Noises Off.
Yes, I am Tim Allgood.
So one of the things you've heard Melissa and I is because Laura puts together our podcast for us and everything, so she has to hear me more than most people do.
It's true, and
we are trying to start a GoFundMe for you
Thank you. It's the least you could
get
do.
You a spa day or something. I don't know, some kind of break from having to hear so much of me.
God, please.
but we've been able to look behind the curtain a little bit with Melissa and hearing how some of the show has been going. We haven't gotten to talk to any of the actors yet. How is you guys are got to be itching to get out there and get a real audience.
Well, I will say we have just started this week with kind of an audience in that our tech and our backstage crew are there now, and when we're on stage, we're performing for them. And let's be real, Linda Garsky's back there doing the lights, and we want to hear that laugh every time we make a punchline.
Oh God, yeah.
And we can't help it. We're all very excited, and in fact, actually, Friday I had Quinn, my 5-year-old, with us, and she watched the show, and we were chasing that giggle she gave us in Act One all the way through to the end. It was a fun night. We're itching for an audience. Any laugh from anyone out there is good enough for now.
Have you been enjoying the character? Is this a different type of a role for you?
Tim is an interesting character. I'm having a hard time connecting with him, and it's really just a matter of there's not a lot of information given about him, and so I kind of have to formulate a lot of Tim. But, you know, he's just generally an overworked, exhausted stage manager person. And he's also trying to help the director juggle his love triangle for whatever reason. He's a fun character to play. It's a fun role. I like ensemble cast shows, and I like farce, so it works for me.
And it is one of the classic farce plays.
It really is.
If you are even a light fan of farce, you are going to love this one.
It's so good.
How much fun has it been, and I'm not jealous at all, of working on that stage?
Oh, it's been...
We're working on that stage with that particular set. You guys got a wicked set over there.
Right. So as part of my duties as Tim, I actually help with the set changes in between. So for lack of a better way to explain it, the set rotates. And so in between acts, we kind of choreograph the rotation of it. And so I have a lot more intimate understanding with the set than a lot of the other cast, as that being my role. I actually don't get to be on it a ton, but I move it. It's a really cool set, and it's gorgeous, and it's really just cool to see the inner workings of it, honestly.
And when it's done right, and boy, it's done right every single time at WRCT, the set can be another actor, another performer on the stage.
Yeah, and this one it is. This set is absolutely a part of this ensemble cast.
Get your tickets to see this amazing cast and crew of Noises Off. May 1st is the opening night. They'll have a show May 1st and May 2nd. At 7 o'clock that Saturday, May 3rd, a 2 o'clock matinee, and then they come back the next week and do it all over again on May 8th and 9th, 7 o'clock shows. Everything wraps up May 10th with a 2 o'clock matinee. One of the other things that we got Laura working on around here is our WFHR newsletter. You've been putting in some great articles on there. I know that I've heard a number of people mentioning your powerlifting.
I did those during powerlifting season this winter. Yeah,
some of those that you've done, and we've got a new WFHR newsletter being put together right as we speak. We'll have a new edition for you tomorrow at noon. We're looking forward to that.
Yep. I wrote a small article and a press release for yesterday for the changes that are happening today, and that's probably going to be in the newsletter. Mm-hmm. I contribute quite a bit to it.
Also appreciate the Sheriff's Department spotlight and the 8th annual Bobby Sox spotlight that you did on there all as well. And I encourage you to check those out. Our good friend Chuck Gennaro has been doing some great stuff over there. Terry Barr is all over the place with that. Terry's amazing
anyway.
I don't get to shout out Jimmy Koska very often, but Jimmy's been putting some articles on there too, and he's done some great stuff. And of course, Michael Comer, who is our newly crowned sports director around here. I mention that every chance I get. Michael will not only be joining us on Playmakers today from 4 to 5 on 105.5, but Michael does a great job adding to the newsletter with a lot of the articles he puts.
He does. His local sports coverage is truly something unique. He really does follow it like it's professional sports. He can talk stats stats about local sports, and that is such a really cool thing to have.
Yeah, yeah, it's an asset for us around mm-hmm. here. I encourage you to sign up for the WFHR newsletter. Just go to WFHR.com, bookmark that page, and sign up for that newsletter, everybody. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings with WFHR. Lauren James hanging out with you.
Hello.
Got an interesting one here, Laura, and I don't mean to do this to you and Melissa all the time, or even Beth, but, you know, with the show we do here and the way we try to do this show, we do mm-hmm. serious comedy, and we try to be a positive show, so we stay away from some stuff, you know, that you might, you know, be drowned out by in your day-to-day life. We try sure. to give you a break from certain things. And with that, we have a little bit of a reserve of topics to be able to touch on, so I go to food a lot with you guys.
It's true, but we like food.
And I can't help it with this one, okay? In my defense, because this is just too wild to me, and I had to get your take on this one. I'm not sure backyard barbecues are supposed to be fancy, but here's how to elevate yours. A hot dog tower. Can I interest you in a hot dog tower, everybody?
No.
This might be the new big trend this summer. No. Experts and a lot of people are saying.
Okay, continue.
A couple of news outlets just did a big story on how restaurants are offering them instead of seafood towers because seafood is expensive and times are tough. You make a multi-tiered serving platter and put different types of hot dogs around it. All three levels can be dogs, or you can use one level of for fries, and the top tier can be condiments, but you don't just load them on there. It's all about presentation. A place in South Carolina called Sir Wiener's.
Absolutely. Yes.
Is taking responsibility for the trend. They partnered with an upscale place called Lamer's last fall and added a hot dog tower to the menu. The owner of Sir Wiener's says people love it because it's over the top and the perfect mix of ridiculous and delicious.
Okay, so I love ridiculous. I do. But I am concerned about the temperature of these dogs.
You know, we were talking about nachos with this the other day, and my only real issue with nachos is the bottom nachos that get all soggy and everything with that.
And I'm worried about a cold dog, because as much as I love hot dogs, and I love hot dogs, a cold hot dog, unless you're already drunk, it doesn't hit, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just doesn't. And that is from personal experience. You can take that down. Don't eat cold hot dogs. They're not good eats for me.
Yeah. I don't blame you there.
And it sounds like this is, I don't know, these wiener towers don't sound like my style.
And they're not.
And the thing about the seafood that's just a bunch of dogs on a plate.
So I'm showing Laura a picture of it.
That's just a bunch of dogs on a plate with a bowl of fries set above them. That's going to get cold and sad.
Is this, when I think of a tower, I thought the food was literally on top of the other food, and there was no separation.
So the thing about seafood towers is that these are items that don't need to be heated. They're on ice.
Mm.
Dogs are intended to be eaten hot.
Yeah.
It seems like that's my I'm caught up on the temperature. You'll never convince me to eat a cold hot dog.
No, me neither. No, I'm with you on that 100%.
Also, cold fries, why disappoint me right from the start?
Cold fries are wrong. Like
that's all I'm saying. It looks cold and sad and disappointing, and I want my hot dogs hot and my fries warm. Thank you.
Yeah, anything else is a crime against food.
Thank you.
Like,
if those towers were self-heating in some way, perhaps I would hear them out. But no.
Now, is there a version of this, though, that could work? Like, as far as what they're trying to do here?
The seafood towers, right? Because mm-hmm. they're on ice. These are items that don't need to be heated. They're kept cool because they're on ice. That's the intention of the tower, right? It's something that can... It's, you know, it's like putting something in a cooler, right? Because it's meant to be cold and it's going to sit out there all day, but it's on ice, so it's fine. It's basically that. You can't do that with warm food. Any cold food is fine.
would pigs in a blanket work instead of hot dogs for this?
Those will also get cold. Things that would sub sandwiches
mm-hmm.
or pasta salads or even like coleslaws or, you know, stuff that you're already eating at a cool temperature. If you're into Jell-O fluff, That kind of stuff would work. The condiments are probably fine, but please don't put warm food on a display that is intended for cold purposes.
Yeah. Yeah, that don't work for me. Nothing about it.
I'm going to be hung up on the temperature.
We are seeing more and more of this, though, and it becoming more and more popular, buffet style of versions of eating, whether it's on a restaurant level or a local level.
I love a buffet. That was one thing I missed dearly during the lockdown. I missed a buffet, and I understand the concerns and am willing to take the risks at the reopened buffets. Do you understand? Because I love myself a buffet.
Love them that much.
Yeah. I do.
A pair of villages in Lancashire, England, faced off in an unusual local sport known as bottle kicking. The annual Hallett and Bottle Kicking event took place Easter Monday and saw residents of the villages of both neighboring towns competing to transport three bottles, small wooden barrels, across a stream on the border of two villages.
Okay.
So
this sounds awesome, yeah. And why aren't we doing that? We have so much river.
Two of the bottles were filled with beer, and the third, known as the dummy, is solid wood.
Oh.
Quote, it's been another really exciting one, Phil Allen, chairman of the event, said. The Hallettan team scored first, then looked like they would do it again quickly. Allen said it's really good. So the event has been very popular, of course, on social media. This bottle kicking is a sport that goes back over a thousand years to pagan times. And some local historians believe it even dates back farther, even 2,000 years.
How cool.
Elisa Kearns, member of the Parliament of Rutherford and Stamford, wrote on social media that bottle kicking is an Easter tradition like no other.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to try to show Laura a little bit of the footage of this.
Right, so they're dropping it off in one town, and it's floating down the river into the other.
Yeah, and it looks like they almost do a rugby style.
This looks like rugby!
Yeah.
So they're rugbying it into the river.
So they've got a...
Yeah. Look at all these strapping young men.
they
covered
really,
in mud, I grabbing feel like, what are they, the barrels.
I feel like they really undersold this. I this is much wilder than I would have expected. That is too good. I gotta check that out more. And we need more of this. We need to incorporate some of this over here in the States.
Fun.
We will take a quick time out, get to our news, sports, and partner break. When we come back, Gen Z is reviving a job that not many people have been doing, and millennials and boomers have abandoned. So we're going to talk about that, along with boomers are shocked that Gen Zers don't know these common skills. Can't help it. I think those two are going to go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings with WFHR. Lauren James hanging out with you for the hour. Hope you're having a good one out there. Feels interesting to be in the 10 o'clock hour here.
It is so weird being 10:30 right now.
It's a little weird. I'm used to doing some recording and production and everything. It's a little intro. It's a little weird.
We'll get it. It'll be fine.
Yeah. We're really happy to be able to hang out with you guys a little bit longer
into
the morning and get you ready for your afternoon. That's something that we're really enjoying around here. And something I've been enjoying too, Laura, is just reading up on some of the stuff that's been coming up in the business world with the youngest generations.
Sure.
And the things that they are adapting with and to, it's a world that I can't relate to.
Sure.
Coming from the childhoods that most of these kids had, if not all these kids had, with tech and some of that, and how they're adapting to the modern world with those things.
Sure.
Where I myself have, kind of had to learn on the fly. So much of this is just common knowledge to some of them.
Yeah.
So I think that the first immediate thought for a lot of people is, when we're talking about Gen Z or something, or millennials or any of these groups, that they're going to go to the tech world, that they're going to go to this or this. But Fortune magazine, and you can find the complete article at fortune.com if you'd like, had a really interesting article. As millions of boomers, boomer accountants get gear up for retirement, the industry is facing a talent shortage crisis. While it's been lamented as one of America's more kind of boring jobs or whatever, and headed down a path of extinction, Gen Z is revitalizing this six-figure career opportunity and gaining experience by helping individuals file their taxes for free.
Mm-hmm.
So there is over thousands and thousands and thousands of Gen Z people mm-hmm. who have gotten into accounting. Like, yeah. It's not like a couple hundred. Like, we're talking a gigantic number here, a huge shift of kids, people that have seen an opening and they're taking it.
Exactly. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot. I'm not going to say that it's necessarily a culture of desperation a little bit, but it's not that. It's Gen Z kids looking at millennials with their degrees and jobs that have nothing to do with their degrees and wondering how they can do it better, how they can be more successful by that metric, you know? And I don't know, that's a wise choice.
I mean, it really is a business 101 in many ways.
Yeah.
Where, you know, hey, there's an opening here,
exactly.
Let's take it.
Accounting is a need. It's something that's never going to go anywhere. And I'm pretty sure, was it last year or the year before on TikTok, that the finance was trending in Gen Z. So, like, this isn't that wild. They had that whole song, I'm looking for a man in finance. 6'5", blue eyes. Something.
So 6'5", I thought it would be six figures.
They said 6'5". It was a song about reaching a little too high.
Ah, gotcha.
It was, you know, looking for a man in finance. And it doesn't surprise me that people are looking at that.
For a field that is often judged as less exciting than others, according to one study, it is the second most stereotyped job of boring people.
Sure.
The crisis couldn't get much worse, but then this happens, and it's really, society has almost not even noticed this shift going on with older people,
because
older
accountants,
and younger ones. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's kind of nice. I don't know. It's just kind of nice that's the way it's working. That's how it's supposed to work.
Every generation has a ton of self-reliance in its youth. I can tell you that for certain because we're still here.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen without
the whole
that.
"there are future" kind of thing.
Whether we're talking about the greatest generation or Gen Z, where you've seen this as young people step up or something. But what we're seeing in these last couple of generations, if you will, that are in the getting ready for adulthood or in adulthood, what I've been blown away by, along with this and in certain jobs like accounting and that, is this rise to jump into politics and to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
It's because they're looking at their future and they don't like what they're seeing.
Yeah,
and I can't blame them.
And I don't think that's that different than your generation or my generation. But I do think that we're seeing a little more action from
exactly.
That.
Our generations were too cynical with it.
Yeah, yeah.
They were 100%. Too quick to throw up their hands and say, "Well, we can't do anything anyway," and just, you know, keeping our hands in our pockets. Then
the idea of the ultimate rebellion not even being involved.
And that's such bullcrap, because all you're doing is opting out. You are not helping anybody, least of all yourself.
I agree.
I also would say that perhaps a boring job like accounting is nice because it's predictable, and then their lives can be as chaotic as it can be, and they still have balance.
I want this to be very clear to the audience and to my bosses and my owners, or the ownership around here and everything. I love my job. I am thankful to have this job. Mm-hmm. At the same time, times like this.
A boring job sounds nice
sometimes.
Sounds kind
of nice. Sounds kind of nice to just clock in 9 to 5 and be done with the day and all that. It does sound kind of tempting sometimes, but I could never do it. I would never survive in that world.
I didn't survive well in that world.
A website, and we go to the other direction a little bit here. A website has put out yet another list of common skills that boomers are shocked that Gen Zers don't know, and here are some of them. And this to me is more about just fun with life and the way things evolve and change. Not so much picking on anything.
It feels a little bit like boomers are out of touch.
You can look at it a number of different angles, and if you are in a certain generation, you're probably going to.
Yeah.
So, how to read a map and figure out directions without GPS?
Oh, we still have geography classes, guys.
I mean, I don't know that I've run into this where any generation that doesn't know how to read a map.
Right.
But
okay.
If each one of these you're going to push back on, you're going to be,
Did they just think we were going to retire paper?
how to address a piece of mail.
Oh, come on. That's in sixth grade English.
how to unclog a toilet using a plunger.
Friend, we all use the toilet. Of course they know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I, again, I think that some of this is coming from a almost joking place.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't get too bent out of shape about it or take it too personal.
Okay.
I mean, you can, but this is kind of a light comedy show, so we kind of tried to go light with it. How to count correct change.
Okay.
That would, now, can you see where these are coming from?
I honestly, no.
Well, we certainly aren't using more. We use less real money than we ever have in society.
Sure.
So younger generations, like I could see how if you were older and you didn't realize, you didn't, you know, I could see where they're coming from.
I guess if you've never used paper since then, like it's not like we retired paper and change, I guess. I don't get where they're coming from. I'm sorry.
How to type in an actual keyboard. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
How to mend clothes and sew on buttons. So I actually know more younger people that know how to do that than older people.
Exactly. Mm. Yep.
So how to cook.
Okay.
So the thing that I'm looking at this, and I am not Gen Z,
and
so
I
guess I'm not getting this.
My issue is I'm looking at it as a parent of a Gen Z kid or two. And it feels like the responsibility then is on the parent and the education system, and I feel like my kids know how to do those things.
Yeah. I'm just not taking this as literal. I'm looking at this more of almost laughing at the idea of what they think and not what they're, you know, to me. The idea that we would forget how to cook or we would not cook or something
and
like
people
that.
People still have to eat.
How to do basic handyman skills. That's
sure.
Another one.
Yeah.
Now, what about how to write a check?
See, now that I could almost get, except that checks are very straightforward. All you have to do is really look at it to figure it out.
And I feel like this list is way off. I feel like they should be going with things more so. I just don't know if you were seeing the funny in it. To me, I think that it needs to go more like, you know, the idea of how to use a hand crank things that we stopped using in society.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like they're trying to say that things that aren't obsolete yet shouldn't be understood by Gen Z by the logic. And I'm not following.
The classic one to me is the old, you know, rotary phone.
Right.
You know, that's the one that usually that I would expect would have been the first one on this list.
And I don't know that Gen Z would know how to use a rotary phone.
Now, that's funny.
Generally.
I think that's kind of
funny. That's
funny. I think that's, you know.
That's funny. A keyboard on a computer?
Yeah, that
not
doesn't
funny.
Make a lot of sense.
Well, addressing an envelope? Not.
How to write cursive. That's one that's becoming. Now, that you told me that actually this came up off air the other day. You were saying that they have brought this back.
They are still teaching.
Yeah, they're still teaching it.
They
are still
teaching cursive. And I think it's less of a. I don't think people are as concerned about precision with cursive as they once were, because your penmanship is no longer as important since most things are typed.
Boy, there is young me that's screaming, "See, Mom!" You know, because my penmanship is horrible.
Yep.
How to drive stick shift?
I barely know how, so that's fair.
And that's one of those ones where I would encourage everybody to know if you can.
Yes. If you are forced to drive a stick shift and cannot, I am sorry.
I think it's a good skill to have, just because it's one of those things that if you don't know it, it's
exactly.
probably going to come up.
Right.
Then again, if you do learn it, it probably never will come up. That's just the way life
right.
works.
If the only running car in town is a stick shift, I can get by.
Hmm.
that's as good as I am at it.
Given a, like, now, so if you got your every, like, certain vehicles, I'm not with it, but you got a truck or something like that, I prefer a stick shift. Actually, how to read Roman numerals?
I suppose. I mean, I guess it kind of depends on a lot of things there.
Yeah, yeah. I also think that leaning into the Czech or the Roman numerals or any
don't
of these
use
things,
those.
We
yeah.
just don't. And,
I mean, we do for the Pope in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and two boomers out there, how great are you really at Roman numerals?
Let's see you write a Roman numeral 37.
How many times have you been watching the end of a movie and the end of the credits and you see the Roman numerals pop up and you're saying it? Like,
right.
what do you, where do we outside
and you
of this?
pause to look at it for like 5 minutes. Okay, this is it 2003? Is it?
The Super Bowl is the biggest game every year. It's one of the more watched, more talked about events. Mm-hmm. People that don't even care about it know that it's going on. And nobody knows what number we're on.
Nope, I don't know.
They throw those Roman numerals up there.
What was it?
A couple of people that'll tell you that it's this, or something like that. But almost every person I know gets this wrong.
Yeah. What was it last year? Do you remember?
No, and I don't care because
okay,
it's a Super Bowl,
fair.
And all I care about are the games.
It's
50 something. It's 50 something.
50 something, sure.
That
sounds right.
I mean, it's not just these Gen Z or whatever. I think I could pick on Gen X, my generation, for some of these.
Shoot, the millennials as well. Hey, I'm right there after you.
Now, what I think that would be even more of an interesting list is the greatest generation and boomers putting together a list of things that they wouldn't get.
Sure.
I want to hear that list. That would be interesting.
Sure. Because what do you not get? Oh, you mean social media? Sure.
I think that'd be more fun.
Oh.
That would be more interesting.
Right. You can't code? Come on over, Grandpa. Let's figure it out.
One of the ways that I think we get by as a world is when we lean into and we are able to laugh with each other at our differences while also helping each other with our differences.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are here without the older generations.
Correct.
And the older generations rely on that younger generation to keep things moving.
Yep.
We all need each other.
Yep.
And I think comedy is a great equalizer.
Sure.
So to me, this is what's going on here is mm-hmm. us being able to pick on each other a little bit, have some fun with this with these topics while also understanding, hey, we all need each other.
Sure.
And nobody is getting through this without the other.
Mm-hmm.
Australian woman collection of minions earns her a world record.
Oh.
Laura, we cover world records quite heavily around here, as you
sure.
well know. And we cannot not include this one. This Australian woman earns the Guinness World Record with her collection of 1,035 minions.
Hmm.
The little yellow mischiefs that my father loves are all over her room here. I'm just going to show Laura a picture of this.
She has a whole office of minion.
It's just a yellow wall, it almost looks
it
like,
is,
with eyes
yeah,
staring at you.
There are a lot of unsettling eyes.
The minion character, if you love those characters, for one thing, real quick side note, don't look into the history of what
don't
they're
do
based
it. Not
on.
Worth it.
You are not going to, you
it
will never look at them the
time.
Same.
That's why I can't look at them like that.
I know I can't. For this lady, she can, and people love them.
Right,
great.
People love the minions.
Yeah. Guinness World Records confirmed that she is now the holder of the record for the largest collection of minions memorabilia. Quote, my daughter says I need another house just to store my minions, but I love being surrounded by their beautiful bright yellow smiles. I always find it interesting the different things that people collect, and then to get yourself a Guinness World Record from it. So would you got to feel some pride for that, right?
Sure.
But it's also got to be a moment of, oh wow. Like, I literally have more of this than anybody in the world.
It's me. I'm the weird minion person.
I would almost think that no matter who you are, I mean,
right.
if I had the Guinness World Record for the amount of Simpsons stuff, and everybody knows how I feel about that show.
Right.
There's a moment as that adjudicator is leaving the house, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute.
Right.
What
but
have
there's a
I
difference
done?
Here, because I feel like every friend group needs the weird Simpsons guy. I don't think every friend group needs the weird Minions girl.
I don't know. I wonder. She's happy with it, though. She's very
I hope she's
it.
Happy, and I'm sure her friends love her.
We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back, wrap up the show, morning show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Lauren James hanging out with you. I'm going to wrap up the show. Take it to the top of the hour.
Closing.
We hope you enjoyed the last couple of hours. It's been a lot of fun. Keep in mind, everybody, this is our new era. This is our new home.
This is it.
9 to 11, we'll be here every Monday through Friday, bringing you local radio like nobody mm-hmm. else in this area. Nobody giving you the coverage that we're doing. And I say that now with ego, with pride of this team and what we're able to accomplish around
mm-hmm.
here.
And we love our community, and we show you guys every morning, and we're going to keep doing it right here at this time slot.
Just another programming note for our Midday Magazine fans out there. That show has evolved, Laura, to turn into the Rapids Report.
It has indeed. It is now on a podcast-only format, which we will make sure to share with our guests, share on our socials, include in the newsletter, and anything else you could possibly think of us using to share it with, we will be sharing it with.
We're kind of leaning into where the audience has gone. They
exactly.
have the streaming and download numbers are insane for that show, mm-hmm. and that's thanks to all of you out there. So yep. we're leaning into that. But keep in mind, those of you analog listeners out there, you old school listeners out there, we are looking to maybe bring the show 6 to 7 or something along those lines later in the day. We're still looking at our options with
Of feature on weekends, you know, once a week or 2 weeks or something. Yeah.
I want to say one more time, happy Administrative Professionals Day to Pam Hilke and to all administrative professionals out there. We greatly appreciate you so very much.
Yes, we do, and we especially appreciate and love Pam.
Yeah, she makes this whole thing work. Everything good that we do starts with her, and we appreciate her so very much. I also want to thank her for the years and years of great work that her and Carl and so many people have done on Midday Magazine, mm-hmm. and we're not here without it.
Nope.
We are very fortunate to be keeping that show going, mm-hmm. and we're looking forward to Laura doing a lot more production on it.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, and it's
can I get a second take on
the to me, the service is so is so vital to the community that we couldn't possibly let go of it. We needed to keep it going in one fashion or another, and since you guys were already streaming it anyway, we're just going to keep streaming it.
We're looking forward to bringing you a new episode today. Well, mm-hmm. we will have Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in. I actually see them coming into the building now. so you can check out the video at their website, youtube.com. Go over there and find the video, and be sure to join us as Lance Pimble will be with us today.
Yes, he will.
Wood County Board Chairman. We'll be talking with him, and then the ODC in part two.
Yep. And LePac.
Yeah, looking forward to having Ann in. We love talking to our friends mm-hmm. at the ODC. And a lot of great events in our area, Laura. I wanted to start off with one happening today.
One happening today. Yes, the Women's Health Education on Wheels at the VA Clinic here in Wisconsin Rapids. It will be going from noon to 1 o'clock. So you can head on over there and take part and check out the Women's Health Education on Wheels display at the Wisconsin Rapids VA Clinic from noon to 1.
Encourage you to do that, everybody, and encourage you to check out Central Wisconsin's 8th Annual Campaign for Underwear and Socks, the Bobby Socks event, happening tomorrow, 5 to 8, over at 2100 South Maple Avenue in Marshfield. This is over at the American Legion Post 54. Go check that out, everybody. Be a part of that one. This is a great event. They'll have auction table 50-50, raffles, cash bar, vendors, live music, all mm-hmm. kinds of cool things while doing some really cool work. They've helped over 800 families with this event.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kathy and all the good people a part of this one.
Yep, they're providing brand new underwear and socks to families in need in the area, and that's such a really cool service.
This area, this community does an amazing job doing mm-hmm. things like that and helping out our animals, Laura.
Yep.
And we've got a great one going on with that.
That is true, especially on 105.5 FM WIRI. We are trying to draw attention to a organization called Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue. They are in need of some items, and you can drop those off right here at our station. And those items that they need are blankets and towels, dogs and cat food, treats, toys, kennels, garden hoses, and cleaning supplies. So anytime between now and May 1st, feel free to drop those off right here at our studios, and we'll get them to where they need to go.
The Historic Point Boss has their campfire cooking workshop happening this weekend. Be sure to check it out, everybody. Head on over to 364 Wakely Road in beautiful Nacoosa. Check out this event from 9 to 4. Registration is encouraged, so get on over to the website, historicpointboss.com. Check out more. You can email them, historicpointboss@gmail.com. Be a part of this event. Learn about basic fire building, cast iron cooking, primitive and open hearth cooking. It's such a cool thing. Mm-hmm. It's such a cool
event. No, I think so, too. I think it's going to be a really cool thing.
Help them keep history alive over there at historicpointboss.com. Speaking of keeping history going, man, I'm just a segue king today.
Doing great.
It's all accidental. None of it. I wish I could take credit for it. The Laura Ingalls Wilder event is happening over at the Southfield County Historical Museum, where they keep history alive and well. Head on over to 540 3rd Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Check out this awesome exhibit that they have going on there mm-hmm. of a local Wisconsin famous alum.
Yep, through to the end of the month.
And keep in mind, this Saturday, Lynn Urban is going to be there from 2 to 4 for a wonderful presentation. This is open to all ages. It's free. Lynn knows her stuff. When it comes to Laura Ingalls Wilder, there ain't many people that know more than Lynn.
That's who you want to hear from. Yep.
It's going to be a fun one. Check that out, everybody. Also want to remind everybody that the 20th anniversary of the Run the Rapids 5K Run Walk is happening this weekend. It kicks off at 9 a.m. over at the Centralia Center. Now, whether you're able to be a part of this great event or not, I want you to keep an eye out for our runners and everybody this weekend mm-hmm. that are going to be out there. This is an amazing event that supports child abuse prevention, mm-hmm. Which is obviously key this month and every month, really. Yep. Encourage you to find out more and be a part of this event if you can, everybody. They got a great Facebook page. Head on over there, check that out, or give our friend Matt a call at 715-422-0914. That's 715-422-0914. We'll see you out there. And I wanted to remind everyone as well that the Drug Take Back Day is coming up this Saturday. They'll be doing this in Marshfield at the Marshfield City Hall, at the Pittsfield Police Department, the Town of Rome in Adams County, Nakusa Court Assisted Living, Port Edwards Fire Department, and here in Rapids, Wisconsin Rapids Pick and Save. You can drop off items at any of these places. And keep in mind, you can find out more by going to doseofrealitywi.gov, doseofrealitywi.gov, or give them a call if you'd like at 715-421-8911. That's 421-8911. If you have items that you're unsure of, if they will take in or not, just ask.
And that's also on doseofrealitywi.gov too.
Yeah, I encourage you to do that, everybody. And wanted to take a moment to just shout out our friends at the Lincoln High School Theater Program. Mm-hmm. Everybody involved with them in the music department had a great time hanging out with the kids the other day for the Lightning Thief, a Percy Jackson musical. Mm-hmm. They are going to have their show coming up May 1st, 7 o'clock, Friday, May 2nd, 7 o'clock show. And then that Saturday, they'll have a 7 o'clock show. Wrap everything up that weekend with a 2 o'clock matinee. Mm-hmm. You can get tickets right at the front desk, right there when you go there. Tickets available at the door an hour before the show. I encourage you to do that. Otherwise, if you'd like, you can go to their Facebook page and find a way to get tickets that way. Mm-hmm. And support the arts, everybody.
Indeed.
Whether it's that or it's our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, where you can see awesome people like Laura and all kinds of other locals, a part of the Noises Off show that is coming up May 1st. Tickets.
You can get them at wrctheater.org.
Get them. One of the things I love about them that I don't see with a lot of places where you can kind of pick your seats, mm-hmm. I always find that kind of fun. And
it is really nice.
Especially if you want to sit next to certain people or something like that.
Or if you have someone in the show that you care about and want to see more closely, you can pick a closer seat.
I will say, with a show like this, there is no bad seat you're going to take.
That's
in.
True.
There's so many great angles to have on a show like this one with so many moving pieces. So.
No, you're going to have a whole show from whatever angle you're at.
WRCtheater.org is where you want to go. And a big shout out to Melissa and Laura, tag team in today's event, our morning show, and putting up with me as well as you guys do. You're really nice. You're really good. Thanks, Laura.
Oh, thank you.
You guys have a good day. Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.